Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Speakeasy Podcast. My name is Kate.
My name is Alan. You might hear our third co-host, the bird.
Outside, making really ominous sounds. Probably not. Probably won't be picked up by this mic. Welcome to another episode of the Speakeasy Podcast. Did I say that already?
Yeah.
I got distracted by the bird.
So if you would like to contact us, you can contact us by yelling outside the window when we crunch like a bird, or you can be more polite and call us.
Call us? Don't call us.
You can email us at reversethieves@gmail.com. You can contact us on our Discord, which is full of cool people calling about cool stuff. And
now, I have to say that I have really neglected the Discord since I got Zelda, but I've also neglected all of my life. So
I figured, like, with like convention season like kicking off, like, I know several people we know are going to, you know, anime expo, and you know, Otakon, and a lot of people in the Discord are going to Otakon, so I'm sure there'll be discussion there about that.
Yeah, it'll get more lively. I'll try to, you know, return to the land of not playing Zelda all the time at some point. But also, this episode is the 150th Speakeasy Podcast episode. So we're doing something that we pretty much tell you that we'll never do, but it's a special occasion. I mean, that's a pretty big number.
So, yeah, Kate was like, should we do something special? And I spent my time and my commute trying to think about it. And so I was like, all right, we'll let people choose something that we watch. I was like, all right, let's give them options. But at least let's give them options that are fun to pick. Like, if we just pick, like, stuff we're going to watch anyhow, that's like, I feel like people are less excited. So, Kate,
we are now unveiling, and this will also be in the Discord, so that's where you can go and vote. So we will watch, for a future episode, one of the following. The new Netflix One Piece.
So, like, if you were like, man, I really liked that episode where they watched the live-action Cowboy Bebop.
That's pretty much this whole list.
True.
Bleach 2018 live action movie, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Diamond is Unbreakable live action movie from 2017, which I did not know existed until 10 minutes ago, the live action Attack on Titan movie from 2015, or going all the way back to a real bad one, Dragon Ball Evolution. From 2000, I cannot believe this came out in 2009, you guys. And also, I have never seen any of these. Al says that he has seen, like, clips of Dragon Ball Evolution, but has never watched it. So, all 100% new reactions for your Schadenfreude and pleasure. Because I definitely wanted the list to be, like, not good things.
Like, yeah, like, I feel like, once again, if we picked all stuff that, like, we were going to watch anyhow, like, I don't think it would be as fun for 150, I feel like. And then we could go back to ignoring bad recommendations.
So head on over to the Discord. This poll will be in the announcements section, and vote for your favorite. Is it a favorite? I don't know. But anyway, vote for what we should watch. And I'm like, kind of, you know, just interested to see what everybody thinks will be interesting for us. So again, we will post that announcement in the announcements section of the Discord, and I don't know how long. I guess we'll run it for like a month, like until we record the next episode. Mm-hmm. People can vote, and then we'll announce what the winner is.
We probably won't even be able to start till August, because one, if people pick the One Piece, that doesn't come out till the end of August, and otherwise we're probably just going to be busy with Otakon stuff for a while anyhow. So
yeah, we've got summer shows, we've got Otakon, that sort of stuff. So it will be something for the fall. All right. And so this episode of the Speakeasy, we are doing kind of just another catch-all episode, stuff that we finished. But first,
we have the Tide Moon Minute. So, as I said, with the anniversary coming out, things are going to pick up. We got a big info dump in a recent live stream where they announced the first chapter of Ordeal Call in FGO, which is Paper Moon. And we're kind of still in the middle of it. So all the servants out from Paper Moon haven't been revealed. But we do know we have Bhima, who is one of Arjuna's brothers. And Duryodhana, who is the king that Karna served in, like, the big war between, you know, that, like, kind of is the apex of the Bhagavad Gita. So it was very Indian-focused chapter, a lot of Indian servants. And it's pretty much guaranteed that we're probably going to get, and at least in one second banner, Druga and Kali as later. Maybe if not in the second banner, maybe later. Well, at least one of those is probably going to be in a second banner. And then Kali they might save for later, in a later like banner or event or something like that. But Kali's like a big deal because she gets like a full like Inu Curry style. If like you if you've seen like Danganronpa or the Madoka witches when they would come out in the like paper craft, like that very much in that style. They obviously, and people are already very excited for her, so that was that. And they also did say that that July won't be a dead month, that there will be a new, brand new event in July before the anniversary, which is the second piece of Type Moon news, which is that we now have the dates. It's going to be, the big anniversary event is going to be on July 29th and the 30th. Tickets are on sale. They have the schedule for the 2 days of the event.
During Otakon.
Mm-hmm. And they will have... Well, it was actually during Otakon last year because I remember rolling for ARC while I was... when I woke up that morning. And they've been just like releasing like pictures of like festival dressed servants, like I think two every week. So that's been happening for a while, and they're going to do that till the anniversary. And then they'll be like, they'll only have like half the servants. The other half of the servants in their anniversary outfits will be revealed at the event. And there'll be a bunch of other anniversary news and announcements at the anniversary, and probably a bunch of other Type Moon stuff. So the August Type Moon Minute will probably have a bunch of
news. It will be longer than a minute.
Yes. And the third thing was that... we got a whole dump of information about Fate Samurai Remnant. So we know that Japan and the U.S. is simultaneously getting the game on September 29th. It went up for pre-sale. It looks kind of like a Dynasty Warrior game with part like some parts that are not Dynasty Warrior-esque, so kind of more like a Fate/Stella Stella type game. So like there's like an interconnecting gameplay that's not in the just, you know, Dynasty Warrior sections. I'm assuming like when you fight the other servants there in Dynasty Warrior, there'll be like a bunch of servants, and then at the end of the map will be the servant that you fight. We know that the main character is the adopted son of Musashi, who is the male Musashi, but the female Musashi from FGO was like summoned as a berserker. And the one other servant that we know is John the Arc Alter, is a Lancer. And they're like keeping the other servants from the other classes as like either later reveals up until September or like surprises for the game itself. But we saw a few of the masters who are all seemingly somewhat based on historical characters. Like one of the, like the master of, I think, Assassin is like the like little known about daughter of this like Dutch ambassador. Like the Dutch ambassador is like super famous, and his daughter is just kind of like it. And this was his daughter. And so they clearly like, oh, we'll make her one of the masters in the event. And they're like one or two other. I know like one of them is like this guy who became like a famous pirate and some other things. So that's a lot more details than we had before. So and I know the one thing that disappointed my roommate is we both get special editions, but the Japanese special edition has like a Musashi figure that comes with it that is not in the American release. Although I think there's a price break because of that as well. So, I mean, but yeah, for some reason the American release will not have the Musashi figure for the special edition. But yeah, I'm you know, if there's more news about Fate Samurai Remnant, I'll bring that up. But that was pretty good month. There were a few other little things, but I feel like those were the three most important things. So yeah, next month I'll probably talk about, you know, the whatever the July event is, and we'll probably get a little more on the anniversary and Samurai Remnant, maybe some other stuff. So I will see you then, type lunatics.
All right, so to kick off this episode where we're just wrapping up a few shows, I wanted to go back and talk about Trigun Stampede because, you know, we talked about it when it came out, and it's this beloved sort of series, and we talked a lot about that. So I thought it was worth kind of seeing where we landed with it because it was really all about, like, or I think at the beginning it was sort of like, wow, this is so different and it seems really gutsy to like not just follow the story that we know in the way that we know it, which is not really typical for a lot of anime adaptations these days. So like, how did that go?
Or yeah, I think we all just assumed that it was going to be a like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Like, let's just do the manga like ultra faithfully. Which clearly was not. Like, you could tell that like one episode in.
But I think that this, I was like not sure how I felt about it a lot of the time that I was watching it, but like in the end, I really liked it, and I thought it was, I just thought it got more interesting as it went along, and I stopped worrying so much about how I felt about it, like compared to the original as much, and I was like really thought it was interesting that ultimately it ends up being a brand new origin story for many of the characters in the series.
I would disagree. But in the fact that I feel like it's a strong and interesting opening, but I feel like I am still reserving my judgment because it feels like the first half or the opening act of, like, this still clearly the movies. It's movies, right? That are, there's some, they announced, because it's not the complete story. There's still, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know. I feel like whenever you do things like that, it's kind of the end that is important. I feel like, I get what you're saying, and totally, I feel like nothing so far has made me think, oh man, this is like garbage, and like, there's no way. And like, because we've all seen that, where like you're like, this reboot is bad, and like, there is no way you can pull this tire fire out of, you know, in the end. But like, I'm very curious to see more of it. I'm just, I don't know, maybe I'm just old. Young man Al is old and cynical that like I'm still like reserving judgment for like how they tie things up.
Oh, I'm definitely curious about that. I think that's I don't think that's not valid. Like, I don't disagree with that at all. I just thought it was, like, I felt very excited by the last couple of episodes, especially where you start. I mean, I think it's probably maybe more exciting if you do know the story already. I mean, I still think those last couple of episodes are very, you know, like, great. Like, story and, you know, action and everything. I'm sure if somebody hadn't seen Trigun, they're also great. But I think because I do know the story, or we do know the origin, it was like, you're picking up things. You're like, oh, this is what this is now. Like, this is now the origin of this. Or, like, this is now this character's backstory, and that's different. Or, like, this... And those things, I think, just didn't reveal themselves until much later into this. Like, you're just like, oh, okay, well, this is just a retelling. And it's like, it is, but it isn't. Like, it's just they're, like, using the same pieces but putting them in different places. So I thought that was... And I'm very curious about one character's role in particular going forward, which is Wolfwood, which I don't want to say too much about it, but, you know, I don't know what it is. Like, it's very, how that plays out is very different here. And then it's sort of like, well, now what, how do they figure into the story going forward? And I also thought it was so interesting. I guess I do think, though, maybe it's all more interesting if you already know it than it. Now that I'm talking about it, I wonder if it's like as interesting to someone who's seeing it for the first time. But like, also, Legato, like, is a character who I think from the original anime, everybody was like very fascinated by this character. And some people even, I think there was like a lot more fascination with him than Knives in the original anime. And then it was like, oh no, like Legato's like the mini boss, you know, like, I mean, cool or whatever, but like, and so I think it's interesting now, like, oh, well then how they're changing things with him in this story. And like, I don't know. I just like, maybe it is all about because it's different from what I know. And like, it's exciting, but I mean, I'm still, and like, is there a possibility that Millie will like appear in like further materials, you know, like,
well, not to say too much, but didn't they make a big hint at that at the end?
It's like, oh, okay, it doesn't have to be that we don't have, it's just we started at a different point. So, yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I feel like if you were curious about it, having loved the original, I think it's definitely worth seeing. And I think it picks up a lot as it goes along. I do think the personalities, though, are... It's much more serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean... By the end, it was that serious. I wonder if they just felt like they wanted to keep the tone a little more consistent. Because I do feel like there were a bunch of people who felt like really like one tone as opposed to the other, and really wished that the other one had disappeared. So I do feel like maybe they started out a little more... Let's have the series begin how it ends and, like, you know, keep in a little bit of humor, but, like, have it be more serious. I think maybe that was just I do feel like that tends to be what sticks out in people's minds more. Well, I mean...
You mean the goofy stuff from Trigun, or...
No, they're like the serious... Like, people who, like, tend to, like, remember the series tend to remember the later parts.
Oh, how interesting. I was thinking the opposite.
Mm.
I wonder... That's just... My perception is, like, I always remember the goofy...
I mean,
Vash.
I mean, it's old enough now that I feel like most people remember like some of the like the gung ho gunfights from the end. So that's what I always thought people remembered. I mean, I don't know how much of it is also just like just the era or generally the people watch anime being like. I like my stuff serious, so I'm going to talk about the serious, angsty maybe, parts at the end that I remember.
And we do get an answer to why, at the beginning of this story, Vash is only the $6 billion double dollar man. So it does have a reason. I thought it came together well.
Mm-hmm.
And but Al's right. It's all. The landing will be important.
Yeah, I don't discount what Kate's saying. I feel like I'm a little more like, let's see how you end, my friend. But I just feel like...
I wonder when we're getting any of that. I don't know.
I haven't like looked into it. I'm sure that it will creep up on me like so many other things. So I guess we'll each talk about one thing that we finished on our own, and then we'll end with the joint thing that we finished. So I figure I would like to talk about Vinland Saga, because I think it's the, like, of the things that are finished when we're recording this, because otherwise I'd just talk about the ending of Vertiwing.
Don't worry, everyone. It'll happen.
But I just wanted to talk about the ending of Vinland Saga Season 2. So, yeah, I just found it very interesting that, like, turns out I was not the only one who was super interested on what anime fans thought of Vinland Saga Season 2. Apparently, there were just a whole bunch of memes of, like, you know, basically, you know, essentially, like, you know, they'd have, like, a picture of, like, somebody watching a TV and then somebody else eating popcorn watching the person watch TV, and you know, under the person just watching the TV, you know, anime Vinland Saga what, you know, fan, and then you know, the person watching the person manga Vinland Saga fan, or some variation of that. Apparently that was a lot of the people who read the manga's whole thing. Because, yeah, the farmland arc is just so very different. And so, I think that they did a really good job of just, like, showing how Thorfinn has like changed after, you know,
things that happened.
Yeah, things that happened, and like, you know, his life on the farm and him going from like a warrior to like a pacifist in like a, you know, in a realistic manner, and just being like a changed person. Like, I thought that was really great. And like his whole like confrontation with King Canute at the end, I think really like sets the tone from that point on. And like, I mean, not for too many spoilers, but like, they actually like, let's try to get to Vinland at the end of this. Let's actually get to why this is called Vinland Saga.
You know. You've all been waiting for two seasons. We're going to give it to you.
I mean, like, Vinland had come up before, and like, you know, Thorfinn had a family friend of Leif Erikson. So, you know, it was, you know, clearly going there. But like, now it is like definitively a goal of our main characters, not a like thematic thing in the background. Apparently, from what I heard in an interview, they wanted to do some anime original content, but based on the notes of the author. So it wasn't like they would just pull it out of whole cloth, but that there's this one character who's like kind of like the chief guard or mercenary on the farm called Snake. Well, his like nickname is Snake. You don't actually learn his name till the very last episode of this arc. But they were originally going to do an extra episode in the middle that was going to be Snake's backstory that you never got in the manga. But the director said that, like, because of just scheduling and like several conflicts that came up, they just didn't have like the time and budget and just resources to make that episode come to life. It would be interesting if they did like a bonus episode on the DVDs or something, but
too bad it's a Netflix show, so I'll have a DVD or whatever.
Well, I mean, is it? I wonder.
Isn't it?
I think it's on TV in Japan, though.
Oh, okay.
So, unless it's on Netflix, because there is Netflix Japan. So, unless it's on Netflix Japan, and in which case there.
And maybe Netflix Japan releases physical. I don't know, but it just came up for a couple of other things where it was like, well, we don't have physical releases for these shows, so. Like, we can't even preserve them.
But, yeah, I was a little sad about that. Because, like, that would have been interesting to, like, just have a little thing that, like, was just, you know, from the author's notes. So, I was relatively pleased. I thought they did, a good job of, like, capturing the, like, the weight of, like, some of the important, like, events at the end. And just, like, I feel like the pointless brutality, like, very deliberately pointless brutality of stuff at the end of the chapter, when like so much of the like first two thirds was just kind of like building, and there was like some fights and some, you know, action and stuff like that, but like I felt like it was very satisfying release at the end that like There's still some of the Vinland Saga first season, but like now, every time there's like a bloody conflict or you know, a bunch of people die, like in the first part, you're supposed to be cool, and now you're supposed to be like, man, that just sucks.
Right. It's like supposed to recontextualize. Yes. Mm-hmm. The violence.
Mm-hmm. And now, like, you know, I mean, there's even one character who, like, you know, is like this whole, like, you know, basically like toxic masculinity, violence is cool, I'm gonna be a tough, you know, cool violence guy, and then, you know, I'll get all the respect and what do you call it, that I deserve kind of guy. And by the end of the season, he's like, Thorfinn, I admire, like, your man of peace is like the, you know, now that I've like killed and almost been killed, like I realize, like those dreams were wrong. And that like, I had like the wrong conception of all these things. And like it's the more heroic man who cannot fight. And so no, it was very good. I still recommend it. I really hope that they do the later arcs because I feel like they're a, I wouldn't say better mix, but they're more even mix because now that they've established all these things, they can go back and forth between them a lot easier and organically. And so there'll be a lot more. There'll still be violence, but there'll still be the philosophy and like the character growth that we got. We'll get the philosophy and character growth we got from the first two-thirds of the season, but we'll still get the violence and, you know, cool fights and, you know, but now with kind of a little more profound meaning in the, you know, the next season or two. So I really hope that a lot of people didn't drop off because of the beginning of the farmland arc. Because once again, everybody I've seen who like sticks through it is like, amazing, this was great, you know, I'm glad that I, you know, Or you know, they were immediately sold. But, you know, anybody who, like, had doubts, if they stuck through the end, really was impressed. So I really hope that enough people carried over that we do get a third season. I would be looking forward to that. Because there's still a lot of good material in Vinland Saga.
So for something really different from that, I finished. I feel confident, although there is a lot of violence in Rokudo's Bad Girls, but more, you know, not like it's not silly violence because it's delinquents fighting all the time, but less. Well, I'm not supposed to take it nearly as seriously as Vinland Saga. So this is a rom-com. We reviewed the first episode of it, and just as a refresher, Rokudo gets this random power from his grandfather that basically makes girls fall in love with him, but only really specific girls, and all basically delinquent girls. And he uses his powers for good. because all he wants is to have like a great school life, to hang out with his friends, and to do all the regular school things. And so he sort of then, yes, he is a delinquent magnet, but then those delinquents then become part of his circle of friends, and they fight off bad delinquents. They have adventures at school, etc. We end in the culmination of all of many, many school series at the school festival. And also, at that school festival, there's a giant gang fight.
So it's exactly like the ending of the season of Skip and Loafer.
Perfectly the same. I mean, you can't even tell the difference between those two shows. So over the course of the series, Rokudo, you know, gains a bunch of different, like, girls into the mix. And but the show is, like, it's a technically a harem show, but it doesn't really feel like it. It just feels like a friendship show. Except there is, like, a main heroine, Rana, who is, like, ultimate delinquent girl. I mean, she's, like, destroying gangs before she meets Rokudo, and the only thing holding her back from such violence is Rokudo himself. So there is, like, a main romantic character, but I do feel like the show is just about friendships and such. And then the last big arc of the series is another, you know, Rokudo has, like, gained friends, but he's created enemies by, like, accidentally destroying other delinquent gangs around town via being a nice guy and, like, an earnest dude. So in the final arc, a rival gang, like, infiltrates the school and like, you know, starts, like, transfers in, and they're like, oh, we want to be friends with you. And of course, it's a total revenge plot. And it's just, like, I don't know. This show is very weird, but also something very charming about it. And Rana is, you know, protector, but then, like, kind of over the course of the series, is like, she really only cares about Rokudo, and, like, via this magic, and she really doesn't, like, interact with anyone else. And so, like, part of the final arc is sort of, like, her realizing that she, like, cares about other people, and, like, has friends, and, like, wants to have friends that aren't just Rokudo. So like, that's kind of, like, a big thrust of the ending. And, yeah, there's just something, like, it's, like, not a great show, but it's, like, a fun, cute show that I, like, enjoyed despite myself.
It just reminds me of, like, I forget the name. It's, like, I think it's, like, Kerry King or something came up with this theory of, like, good, bad manga, where he's, like, like, the pinnacle, like, what you want to shoot for, but, like, you can rarely do, is good, good manga, where, like, the art and, like, every, like, the technical side is, like, amazing, and, like, the story and theming is great. But he's, like, essentially, like, only, like, the legends of manga can have both, like, the time and ability to, like, do, like, that perfect combination. And he's like, most of the time you get the other three categories, which is, like, bad, bad manga, where it's like the art is bad and the story is bad, and those just get canceled right away because nobody's into them. He's like, too many manga, in his opinion, are bad, good, where, like, it's good, bad, where, like, the art is really well done and it, like, looks beautiful, but the story is rushed and, like,
or doesn't make any sense or yeah, something, yeah.
And it's just, like, it's, like, it's easily consumable, but it's, like, empty calories. And he's, like, but, like, the what you want to shoot for is bad good, where, like, you don't have the time enough to, like, make the art perfect and beautiful and, like, you know, just, you know, the pinnacle of, like, the delight for the eyes, but what you really focus on thereby, since you're, like, you know, not putting so much effort into all of that, is, like, the stories and the characters, you know. We can't all be Rohan and have the ability to, you know, tell amazing stories while also having perfect art. And so, just, like, what do you call it? Bad good kind of feels like the summation of how you describe this series, but, like,
yeah, I mean, and also I was like, they never, like, the magic of, like, his, you know, this power that he has, like, pretty much never, it was just like, this, accept that this is real and that happens, and, like, is never basically explored in any way except like that it exists. And you know, and then like and enjoy these random delinquent girls and their weird, like sometimes incredibly weird, like shticks that they show up with. Although I will say the friends that he makes like in the first episode with like the delinquent girl and guy who are like boyfriend and girlfriend, they like stay like ma they become like major characters in the story, and like I would read an entire manga about them and like their romance, because I like we never really get we get like one little bit of backstory about like how they met. And then again, like I said, this series is not a romance series. It's not even really a harem series. It's a friendship series. And I'm like, yeah, but I want to know about them. Like, and I
What do
love,
they do at dates on their day off when they're not fighting on the delinquents?
It's like I love Inuma. He's the like delinquent guy that like starts the story off that becomes like a very good friend of Rokino's. And I'm like, yeah. These people, like, so it's just like a fun. I can't even, I don't even know if I can fully recommend it to anyone, but like, I had fun watching it. It's really hard to like be like, oh yeah, you really need to see this one. I do feel like it probably would have been more popular because, like you were saying, Al, the art is not great. And like, oh man, the animation in like episode like 11 gets real, real bad for like the whole episode is like, oh boy, that was even worse than what you could have like what it just generally looked like. I feel like if this had gotten like the One Punch Man treatment or something where like, oh, they just like redid the art in like this really
And
amazing
it was
way.
all like Sakuga up.
Yeah, like I think people would have like really maybe like flocked to it a little bit more, but like I think Rokudo fits in really well with like the popular shonen heroes right now, which is like he's really like earnest, you know, so like he doesn't back down, and like you know he'll like do anything for his friends, like so it's yeah, so take it or leave it. I don't know where I would put it, but I finished it.
This is neither here nor there, but like when you were initially just describing, like, how the story progresses, I just keep imagining Suleta with from Witch from Mercury with her like checklist of things that I need to do to have a good like school life. I just imagine him having the same checklist.
Yes, that's probably true. He probably did have a checklist. Oh, but I should also mention, even though this anime only covers a portion of the manga, from what I understand, I felt like very satisfied because the final arc is like, you know, it's like 3 or 4 episodes, so it feels like it has like this gravitas and like it ends in a, I don't know, I felt like very satisfied. So if I didn't know, if I hadn't been told that, I would have just thought like, oh, that was like the end of the manga.
Because I was, when we were discussing what shows we were going to talk about this month, like, I had finished Skip and Loafer and Dr. Stone, and they both felt like see you next season series. Like, they distinctly did not feel like they had, like, any kind of, like, dot at the end of the season. They were more like, all right, see you later. So yeah, it is. I think the reason I think we both picked the shows that we did for the middle were because they felt like boom, here was like an end point. Like the story goes on, but like here is a point that feels it feels like a season finale, not a what do you call it? A see you next week.
And for Rokudo, I don't know if, you know, I kind of don't think it's going to get any more, so I appreciate that even though that wasn't technically the end, they made it feel like the end, and so it was satisfying in that way. Speaking of continuing series,
And Good Boys as protagonists.
yeah. Okay, so our last segment of the podcast is going to be about the third season of Demon Slayer, and it is going to be a spoiler zone. This is your warning. Woo, 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 woo.
Earth's most powerful soldiers are endless chance against the spoiler zone.
All right, that's it. And then, so that'll be the end of the podcast. So if you don't want to hear Demon Slayer spoilers, we will see you next month. Okay, so season 3 Demon Slayer is the Swordsmith Village arc. And, you know, we're coming off of the Entertainment District arc where they defeated their first upper rank demon with the help of Hashira. And now, but in the Mugen Train movie, Tanjiro broke his sword, right? So we've had some sword issues. And so finally, now Tanjiro is headed to the Swordsmith Village where he has a very unhappy swordsmith about his sword, but he's headed there. And it's just him and Nezuko after he recovers from the Entertainment District battle. And they meet two new Hashira there new to us, new to them. Muichiro and Mitsuri, and then Tanjiro's old rival? Is that what we call him? Tanjiro thinks he's a friend. That guy's like, you're my rival, not my friend. Tanjiro's like, we're friends, right? Because Tanjiro is a good boy. Genya is also there, and it kind of, they didn't know he was going to be there, but he's part of it. And during this arc, the upper rank demons have a meeting and they come upon some information that they think they know where this village is. And so they plan an attack. And so two upper rank demons show up. There's a lot of big battling and a lot of dead swordsmiths. So we've got that going on. And then, like, sort of the other component of this arc is Tanjiro's sort of having these, like, I'm not sure what to call them, like, recalled memory. Like, somebody else's memories, maybe? I don't know. We don't have a full explanation. It's still mysterious. But there's this swordsman from, I'm trying to remember, is it 300 or 3,000 years?
300.
Right? 300.
Yeah, because it's still like, I think it's Hanan, which is like old enough that it's not from like prehistoric Japan. It's from like historic Japan. Okay. Like, I think it's like from, if I remember correctly, I think it's like the era that like Sai from, the Go game. What's the one where?
Hikaru no Go.
I think it's from when he was alive.
Okay, I feel like I keep making it more. And like now I'm like, wait, was it 300 or 100? Anyway, it was some time ago that there was this kind of famous swordsman that was able to fight demons and I feel like it's almost like Tanjiro doesn't even realize who he's dreaming about, but as the viewer, we know who he's like. So it seems like he almost has this guy's memories, or he's like seeing things in his dreams that are not his own. It seems like memories of someone. So there's this swordsman. He's mysterious. He was a badass. His sword appears in this, when he's in this sword village, because they make like a weird puppet of him and like the sword was hidden in there. But even more mysterious is that the upper rank number 2 is definitely this guy. And so we don't know, and nobody knows what happened to him, but like, I have obviously theories and the manga is finished. So I know that there are answers out there. So it's not like I can like speculate with anyone. But anyway, I just feel like my theory is, you know, like this guy is the guy who almost defeated Muzan because like we know some that happened at some point and like Muzan turned this guy into, you know, a demon. And so like now he's the upper rank number two, but like nobody knows that and nobody realizes it, that it's the same guy, but we know. And like, I don't know. It's very, I thought that was very exciting. And I'm like very into like, what is the mystery of this guy? And of course like Tanjiro very much levels up quite significantly in this arc.
So does Water or Mist Dude.
Yeah, Muichiro. I really, how did you feel about him? Because I was like, kind of like, I'm not into this guy, but then it got better.
Well, like, the best way I could say it is, like, I see what you did there is my whole, like, the idea is he's supposed to be, like, he's supposed to feel super empty and he's only really supposed to, like, essentially gain a personality when he gets his memories back.
Which is fair.
But like,
but it makes him hard to connect.
Yeah, it does. It does feel rough because he does just come off so much of an asshole until that point.
But I did really like that he has to be helped by like somebody way less like capable than he is for him to like realize something. And of course Tanjiro is in his head the whole, you know, like Muichiro is like having all these memories of like Tanjiro being like, you're not alone, like you gotta ask for help, like all this stuff. Muichiro of course has like, as does everyone in this show, but I don't even know, man, everybody's got like the most tragic fucking backstory, but his was pretty bad. I was like, this is, I mean,
I was about to say,
Mitsuri's is like sad, but not like my whole family is dead sad.
Because I was about to say, compared to like the two guys in this arc, her backstory is freaking roses.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have necessarily wanted to live her life, but compared, like, if I had to choose, you're like, you got to choose one. I'm like, her life, done. Pick hers, yes.
Yes. I did really appreciate, though, like, in hers, you know, that this, it kind of brought up, like, all these expectations for women and, like, who she could be and who she couldn't be and, like, how she struggled so much with, like, her identity. I really, yes. Her whole family wasn't murdered or, like, I mean, thank goodness, you know. But I do feel like, I know, I feel like, wait, maybe you should have told hers first.
I was about to say, Kate, actually, considering everything, her whole family hasn't been murdered yet.
Yeah. That's a good point. Valid. Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, they should have told her story first in the arc. Because obviously Tanjiro has a really horrible, like his backstory is really horrible. So we always have that to sort of grapple with. But yeah, when you've got two Hashira here, I think we should have done that one. But anyway.
Okay, we don't know. Genya's life could have been perfectly fine. And
no, have you seen his brother's eyes? There's no way
that their backstory is
good. They're, it's impossible. Well, and that was so interesting. Is so Genya in this arc, right? Like, you know, obviously he doesn't want to have anything to do with Tanjiro, yada yada yada, as always. But then, like, when we encounter him in this fight with the upper ranks, he's fucking eating demon flesh and turning into, like, using demon powers. And it was like, but the way that Tanjiro reacts to him is like, it's like, it doesn't even faze him. And I'm like, did we know this? Because, like, I feel like it's a big deal, but the show, like, no one in the show reacts to it. So I was like, maybe, did I forget that this happened before?
It's just, yeah, it's like, It's like everybody's running around. There's a Jedi, and then one of the guys like, Force lightning, Force lightning. I absorb people's souls, and everyone's like, hey, what's up, bro?
Yeah, I just like kept thinking, because it's not, I mean, you know, I don't have the best memory, especially for like people's powers in shonen manga or whatever. So I'm like, well, maybe we learned that while ago. I don't know.
But to counter, remember how much they flipped the fuck out when they first saw Nezuka? And like, they were all like, we've got to murder Nezuka. We've got to murder Tanjiro. We've got to murder anybody who's talked to either of them. And like, it was only because like the head of the organization's like, maybe not. And they're like, all right. And then they do that, you know, I'm watching you too.
So yeah, so I don't know. I thought that was weird. And then I was like, well, they're in the midst of battle. You know, once everything calms down, someone will address this. Nope. Like, no one addresses it at the end of this story. Like, Tanjiro leaves the sword village without ever talking about it at all. So I was like, okay, I don't understand.
I mean, Tanjiro does seem, especially considering the situation with his sister, like a live and let live guy. Like,
again, I wasn't like wanting him to crucify him for doing this.
But yeah, I'm just like the other two Hashira, though. Like, whoever your bloodthirst that you were like ready, all ready to murder, what do you call it, poor Nezuka. But like this guy, oh yeah, eat demon flesh and have demon power.
I mean, his brother is a Hashira, so like maybe he's gotten special permission again for such things. I don't know. Speaking of Nezuko, I really liked that. Like, I like Boar Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that other guy's name is, yeah. Obviously no. I don't like him. But, like, neither of them were in this arc. And it was kind of nice. Like, I really, like, enjoyed just seeing more of Nezuko and, like, Tanjiro and, like, having, like, a little bit of more focus on them for the arc. So, like, I kind of appreciated that they were off doing their own thing.
And she could finally talk at the end of the season.
Wow, Al. I like how you said that so casually, as if it wasn't the most fraught emotional episode of all of Demon Slayer thus far. You're like, oh yeah, this just happened. I really liked that the season started with an extra long episode and then it ended with an extra long episode. And I was like, is this just going to be like a thing? Like, I was totally emotionally wrecked by that. Did you know that they played it in Times Square or something?
Yeah, I only know that because my Google News was playing it and everybody in like the comments were like finding it funny that like when they had like they showed all the like picture like before they played the last episode, they had like a bunch of pictures playing in Times Square and they were like noticing how the like from the neck up or from the back.
I see.
And they were finding that very amusing. Mm. That like I think like there was one shot of her like full body and it was like from a distance.
I can't imagine watching this episode. I was like, not that I would go to Times Square to watch an episode because that sounds like hell, but
even though you live in New York.
Yeah. But like, I was like, thank God. Or like maybe they played it in theaters too, mm-hmm. or something like that. I'm like, thank God I was not in theater. I would have been like disturbing everyone. I was like sobbing so hard in my living room. I was like inconsolable because, you know, this final episode, Tanjiro is like chasing after this fucking upper rank who's like, I hated him. He was so annoying. Like, I was just like so frustrated by that particular demon. And the sun's coming up and Nezuko is out, you know, and they're fighting this thing and they're trying to chase this thing down. And Nezuko's box is like nowhere to be found. And the sun is coming up and, you know, Tanjiro like has this moment where he can't make a decision. And it's so like heartrending because he's like trying to shield Nezuko from the sun. But like this demon is chasing these two other people. And like they're just like regular people who can't like defend themselves against a demon. And he just like is, you know, he's just like paralyzed with like indecision. And Nezuko makes this choice for him. And like, you know, and then they play a death montage. They play an entire montage of like their relationship from the beginning of our story until like here. And it's like, okay, Nezuko just fucking died. She died. The whole story changes. Like, Tanjiro, like, has to find some other reason to, like, do what he's doing. I'm, like, having all these, like, feelings. He goes and, like, kills this, you know, finally takes out this upper-ranked demon and saves the other two people. And, like, Nezuko has sacrificed herself for, like, these two other people to live. And he's, like... He's unconsolable, so of course I'm, like, even more so. And, like, he's, like, she's evaporated into, you know, like, she's a demon. There isn't even bones left for me to, like, you know, like, bury her, like, mourn her or whatever. And then there she fucking is! And she's talking! And then, of course, then I start crying all over again. I'm like, I was crying because I'm sad. I'm crying because I'm happy. It was even more emotional than Mugen Train, which was, like, an emotional peak for the story at that point. So, like, I just... What do you think happened? Why do you think Nezuko's okay?
I wonder if it's two things. I wonder if it's a little bit of, like, lost boy syndrome, where like you don't fully become a demon until you make your first kill. So like, since she hasn't killed and eaten anybody, she's still like in this state where she could still like become human, or like isn't fully a demon. And I wonder how much it's also, if that's one of two parts, maybe the other part is because she made like a selfless sacrifice while she was a demon, like, because everybody we've seen so far is like doing, like, basically has done everything, like they've become like super selfish, like they basically any like selfish desires that they had before they became a demon has like become usually like super magnified, especially since like Demon Slayer likes to show us like some backstory before any demon dies. So like the fact that she made like an actual like selfless act, maybe that, or possibly the combination of the two.
That's what I was also thinking, Al, was it because she like did this thing to save humans, mm-hmm. and not even like anyone she knew, like it wasn't even like, I'm doing it to save Tanjiro, right? It was like, I don't know, some randos, like, I just sacrificed my life for like these. Yeah, I wondered about that too. I also wonder if it's also going to be something with potentially like, because their dad was a Hashira and like whatever his, like, I don't know if it's going to be related because he's to that.
So they got like some kind of flame power bloodline, and the flames are usually associated with the sun. So like, maybe she has some. I didn't think about that. I thought it was one of the.
I mean, it could be like a combination. It could be all of them. But I did wonder because, I mean, Muzan, I also thought it was very interesting. We finally kind of like, we have like the reveal, right, of like And it's actually just what you're saying, all right? It's like this incredibly selfish motivation. Like, it's not even like world domination or like I hate humans and I want them all dead, even like most basic. It's just like, oh, I only care about me and like I want to live forever and like want to be the most powerful. And like, I'm trying to create, like, find this way that the sun cannot prevent me from doing whatever I want. And like, now he's, like, after Nezuko, so like, he thinks it's, like, in the blood. And, like, if he can now, like, devour her, he will gain that power. Which, like, I don't even know if we know that that would actually work, right? He just assumes that it would work.
Yeah. Because, once again, if it's based on, like, him not eating humans, then... Sorry, you lost your chance a long time. And, or if it's, like, on a selfish act... Eating some dude's sister, not gonna qualify you.
Yeah, so, but he thinks, like, basically he's been turning people into demons in the pursuit of this power, essentially. Like, that's what he reveals sort of at the end. Is like, and then maybe it's just his connection to all, because, like, all human, I guess all demons are related to him in some way. You know, he, like, knew that this had, like, happened because he could, like, feel it. Like, this awakening of this demon that can now resist the sun. And also, I was really excited that the doctor lady, mm-hmm. like, comes back in, like, the demon doctor lady comes back into things at the end. Because I thought she was so interesting and, like, I wondered about her in this arc actually a little bit. Before that happened, and I was like, oh, good. Like, I want to know what's going on with that. Because she's been researching, like, how does it work? Like, and so, like, it's all connected. So I'm really excited about that. And God, I couldn't have predicted it though. Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was pretty. I thought they were going to save Nezuko some. I didn't think they were going to kill her off. I did not. I thought that, like, some other character was going to come and, like...
We'd find out that, like, off-screen someone...
had saved her. Mm. I did not think that she would gain sunlight immunity. I just assumed, like, Love or somebody had, like, popped out and, like, found the way to... Or, like, maybe, like, the kid who was, like, had like, brought over the box or something and saved her or something like that. Because we didn't see her die on screen, so I was like...
We didn't, but man, that montage really... I thought, because they did that, I was just like, oh. Like, there's nothing else to call that but a death montage. Like, that 100%, like, that's what it was. Yeah, I could knock me over with a feather. I was so not prepared for any of that. And, okay, so I really was not into the Vaz demon. I don't know, whatever. I was like, but the other demon was like very difficult to figure out and like interesting when they were fighting the, like it had all the different, what was it, like hatred and greed and like the different emotions.
So it's interesting. So... One, so I was talking a little with my brother, my youngest brother, James, about this because I knew we were going to talk about it tonight. So one thing, apparently the next arc is long, but it's the last arc. So this is pretty much like the penultimate arc. But apparently a lot of this, that I found out from James. So actually... the next arc has a bunch of parts, but it's apparently the final arc. But also, I didn't find out from James. This I just found out. So I've seen a lot of, like, I feel like the first two seasons and Mugen Train, I mostly only saw universal praise for Demon Slayer. I mean, there are people who, like, you know, you'll see the natural number of people who, like, I don't care, or I don't like this series, and like, here are my reasons why. But I feel like generally I saw praise. This was like the first arc where I saw people, like, I guess, having problems with. Because apparently this was a like one of the shortest arcs in the series, and people were a little ups. Apparently, they felt like the entertainment arc was shorter than it was in. Well, apparently, they've been extending stuff in general in the anime, but people felt this is the first time I've heard a lot of people felt like they felt like they took what it should have been like a movie length, like Mugen Train level, and turned it into a whole season. They felt like this arc felt extend like drawn out, especially like the Vase guy fight. I heard a lot of people felt that was drawn out. Apparently, it was much shorter in the manga, from what I heard. I've never read the manga, so I can't tell you that. Did you feel that it was drawn out?
Not really. I mean, this was only, I think it was 11 episodes. And two of those episodes were like extended, I guess, hour episodes. I could see it being a movie, I guess. But was Entertainment District, I'm trying to remember if it was like a double season or if it was only.
I think it was only I think it was only a like I think it was the same like this, but I could be
Okay.
wrong.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, it felt
I didn't bother. I mean, it didn't bother me. I didn't feel like, oh, I'm so bored or like, oh, they're repeating. 'Cause both, I feel both seasons, they like tend to like repeat a bit at the beginning of the episodes, which like not my favorite thing, but seems to be just like a thing they do. Yeah, I don't know. Didn't like I said, I wasn't into Vay's fight that much.
I mean, I did have a discussion with somebody that we both know about like the whole Vase fight. Yeah, I didn't really have a super problem with it. I just thought it was weird that this is like the first time I've seen like major criticism, not from just like a few like corner case people about like the anime adaptation
Those were
into.
all blonde hair fans, Al. We don't care what they think.
I see they all like the lightning guy and just
Yeah.
like they were just sad that we haven't gotten back to lightning guy.
Yeah, that's what it was. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Maybe there's valid, but like
Yeah,
I
I've
was
never read the
fine.
manga, so I can't tell you
And like I
it.
said, in terms like of emotional resonance, I feel like peak, like at the end of this is like pretty high. I did think it was interesting that like
Also, I can't see how you'd. I could see how maybe you could if we count like the end episode and the beginning episodes as, you know, two episodes instead of one. I could see how maybe you could cut it down from like 13 to 11 and maybe even 10 if you were creative, but I can't see it like to six. It's like a movie length. That seems.
Yeah, I mean, there is like a lot of build up at the beginning, like before the upper ranks show up. You know, like 'cause there's like Tanjiro waking up from like the whole incident, the Entertainment District like stuff. Then he's like getting to the Swordsmith Village, then they're there for a while and he's like training for a bit, so like I could see. I could see it as a movie. But it didn't bother me. Like, but like now that you've said it, that's like, oh, okay, I could see how you'd like, you know, maybe.
Chop things up and still tell the story, but a little more efficiently.
Yeah.
I thought I'd bring it up because I Yeah, just it's like the first time I've seen major criticism of the series. So, like I said, I wasn't like, all right, yeah. I mean, you know, as someone who stuck with finished old Bleach, I can tell you the, all right, is this fucking me over?
Yeah, none of that. I did think it was interesting, like, that Muichiro defeats an upper rank. I think he's upper rank. What number is he? Five? I don't remember. Anyway, I don't even know why I said it like I would remember it. Anyway, he defeats an upper rank by himself, essentially, which is...
Yeah, because everyone else we've seen has been, like, a major team-up of at least, like, three Demon Slayers, Nezha, and usually, like, supporting people.
Yeah, and it's like a Hashira, but then, like, also, yeah, like, an entire team of people fighting. And so I was like... Because I feel like they didn't... I mean, the weird part was, though, was, like, Vazuha guy was, like, real, but also kind of a joke. Like, it was a weird thing, but... He's pretty high level, so, like, I don't think it's supposed to be a joke fight. So, like, I think that's supposed to speak to, like, Muichiro's, like, power. Like, and he also gets the, like, similar facial markings mm-hmm. that Tanjiro gets when he recalls his memories. And so, like, I don't know. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting that, like, and even, like, the other upper rank that they defeat, again, they defeat it via teamwork, so I feel like it's supposed to speak to how powerful.
This is neither here nor there. It just popped into my head about Bay's guy. He's the only person who did not get any backstory of how he became Bay's
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, see, that's why I just like that's a really good point. And like,
because like every other, even like minor demon, we usually get like some. How did I, you know, get to this point?
Why am I the way I am? Yeah. How did I turn into a demon?
And this guy's just like, he was an art snob. And like, we don't even get a backstory of him being like a douchey art snob. You know, like the art critic from
Why did Muzan pick this guy? Why? Like, he was desperate.
It was just a slow decade and he just needed somebody in like hopes that he would discover, what do you call it? The way to survive in the sun. He was like, I gotta pick somebody this decade.
But also, if you also recall, Vazguy is the guy who figures out where the swordsmith village is. So, like, he's also smart, I guess? Unless there's just a traitor or something. But, like, I was like, he's also the reason that, like, a ton of this village gets murderated because... They discover where it is and everything. I don't know. That's a really good point that we didn't get that.
I just noticed. I just popped into my head. He's the only character so far that we have not gotten a. Then again, he's also the only one. I wonder how much has to do with memories and everything. Because he's the only one who wasn't also killed while Tanjiro was around. Maybe Tanjiro has some connection to memories or something.
I never thought of that. I always just thought of it as like a motif of the series.
Yeah, no, so did I. But I'm just
because it's interesting. Because it's like the classic. Because I think even when I was watching it with somebody else. I think we were talking about like, oh, here it comes, the shonen flashback where we have to find out about like how the enemy, you know, or whatever, like. Just like a classic shonen flashback, but that would be really interesting if it was actually tied in some way. And it's not just this is what we do. So as you mentioned, Al, the next arc, I didn't know it was the last arc, but they did announce the next arc, which is it's called the Hashira training arc.
Okay, so then it's not the last arc, because James mentioned the name of the last arc. So there's an arc.
Unless this is a filler arc. Although I don't know why they would do that, because they don't need to stall for time in this case. Or maybe that's the first part.
He did mention it was multi-part, so maybe that's the...
So that's what it's called. There's no announcement for when we're getting that yet, but I hope it's not too long.
Well, James Van seems like it was a pretty long arc, so he called it this thing, and then maybe like they're, because it does, the way James made it seem like it doesn't feel like it could fit into it in any way into a level episode thing, so maybe that they're calling this thing, yeah.
So maybe it's like, I mean, the name I feel like implies like that's a big deal. So like if Tanjiro is training to be a Hashira, like that seems pretty in game, or like that's pretty significant. Or is that misleading in the title? I don't know. And then like the announcement image or whatever has all the Hashira that we have either have met or, but we haven't like really had story with or haven't met yet. Of course, that's why I was making a joke about Genya's brother's eyes. I was like, no, there's no way that they don't have a tragic backstory. And I was also just randomly wondering if Gyu, who's like my favorite, so of course I'm very excited that he will, you know, presumably feature prominently in said arc, but I'm like, oh, are they going to replace his voice actor or not? Because his voice actor is Takahiro Sakurai, who, you know, there was some stuff that I'm not going to dredge up on this podcast, but I was like, I don't know, like, I don't know if they're, how that's...
Because Japan's really weird about it. Sometimes exactly. They like... We're happily ignore stuff, and other times they're like, sorry, you did this thing and you're gone forever.
Exactly. And no one will ever speak of you again. So yeah. It's like, I don't know which, I don't know which they're going to choose. But yeah, they didn't announce when. I hope it's fall, but maybe they're going to wait till next year. I don't know. But I'm dying for it. Like, I didn't even realize, I guess, Al, you said the Entertainment District arc was, you know, only 13 or whatever, and I guess I just didn't remember that because I just thought it was like a full season. And so I was not really...
I could be wrong.
I'm not saying you are, but I was just like very much expecting this to like continue. Mm. So when it was like... Because, you know, they do the little like omakes at the end and it was like, the next episode is the final episode. And I was like, what? Oh, it's already time? So I feel like that also speaks to, you know, you were saying... Oh, did you think it was long? And, you know, we talked about it a little bit. But, like, I was certainly, like, looking forward to it every single week, watching it pretty much as soon as it came out, if I could. And then I was like, it's over already? Like, I'm not ready for it to be over. So, I don't know. I'm not disappointed at all.
No, I'm looking forward to the next part, so.
I'm very excited about it. My only request is I want Tanjiro to get his long hair back. Can somebody make that happen for me, please? He looks so adorable. And he needs his jacket back. I feel like that was... It's iconic. And I'm just so curious. Nezuko, oh my god. What does it mean?
I'm just glad that she'll be able to participate more.
I mean, she still talks like she's still learning. You know what I mean? Like, she's still developing back into a human.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, because the upper ranks all talk like, but they've also probably been alive for like hundreds of years or whatever. So they've had time to develop it. So she still was like, you know, she's like very little words and things like that. But yeah. But now she can walk. She can just like walk alongside and she doesn't have to be in a box. Although was she back in the box? I feel like maybe she was.
I wonder how much also that, you know, I think they also had in the back of the box, if nothing else, so she didn't know the way back to Sword Smith Village.
Oh, yeah. And I think also she was in there because she was recuperating.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious does she need to be in there anymore? Or do they want to keep her in there because she still looks like a demon? Yeah. So, like, that'll freak everybody out. So she's still got to be... like away sometimes. Yeah, tell us what you thought of Demon Slayer. You know, I am like so I just like appreciate when the popular thing can also be a good can be good and I like it. It can be all of those things. Every once in a while it happens. All right. So, next month we will talk about the new summer season and we'll also be headed to Otakon at the end of July. So, we'll probably do a pre-Otakon podcast.
That sounds right.
And, you know, we'll let you know what our plans are on the Discord. And of course, we'll then do a podcast about Otakon after that. So remember to vote in our poll on the Discord about what live action you want us to review on a future episode. Thanks for listening to the Speakeasy Podcast for 150 episodes.
Let's go for another 150 episodes. Yay!